Welcome to Ron Whitlock Reports on the Rio Grande Guardian. We're talking to Sean Brashear, President and CEO of the Rio Grande Valley Sugar Growers Mill in Santa Rosa. Welcome to the program, Sean.
Thank you.
Tell us how you ended up getting into agriculture.
Well, I grew up in Willacy County, so my father was in agriculture. He worked at the local cooperative down there, grain elevator and cotton gin. Worked on a few local farms for some local farmers, basically a hoe hand and irrigating sugar cane and cotton. Started picking cotton. Then I moved on to working in the cotton gins in the summer. And I would take cotton gins at grain elevators. I would go ahead and take grain samples, test their moisture and things like that. And then, of course, moved straight into the cotton ginning season. From there, I graduated from high school in 1998 at Raymondville High School. After that, I moved to College Station, Texas, and went to school up there, got a degree in agricultural systems management. And in 2002, I graduated, came back down here, and applied at the sugar mill, along with a couple other companies, probably Valco and Edinburgh Citrus, and Jack Nelson. The CEO and president back then called me and
at the sugar mill
and offered me a job. So I came out of school, really no management experience whatsoever, and he gave me my first opportunity to get into the mill, and I started off working in the harvesting and equipment maintenance side. Then I moved to transportation and logistics, and then worked for 4 years as the engineer in the factory. Over the processing and milling, power generation, and the boilers and steam production. So that was probably the most rewarding experience, was being able to work in an industry that was so far apart from what we usually see down here in the Rio Grande Valley. The factory being what it is, we produce power. We're completely self-sufficient and sustainable. We do everything internally, and to the point where we would even create a little bit of extra electricity from the burning of the bagasse to make the steam to run the turbine generators, and we would export power onto the grid. So it's quite different than what you see normally in any agricultural processing facility in the state of Texas, being that we are the only sugar mill in Texas. But from there, I moved back into management in the agricultural sector, where I oversaw the harvesting operations altogether, grower relations, and some agronomic and variety selection responsibilities. After that, I moved into my current role as president and CEO and have been here for 9 years.
What a history. What a career. All right here in this one building.
It was a lot of jobs, but for the same company. So it was, I was very fortunate. I've been very fortunate to work here and the people along the way, and I still have very good rapport with my predecessors that have given me the opportunities to advance within the company.
You say we're the only sugar mill in Texas. Still here, still hadn't been dismantled yet.
No, but unfortunately, we went ahead and, we've been battling with this water situation with Mexico now for probably over 25 years. Our growers have been trying to get the State Department to put some pressure onto Mexico in order to release some water in accordance with the 1944 Water Treaty that basically governs the distribution of waters from the Colorado River and the Rio Grande Valley river basins. Unfortunately, Mexico has never willingly released any water into into the Rio Grande, and hence into the Falcon and Amistad reservoirs, which is where we get our irrigation supply for all of Valley agriculture. Also for municipalities, the water that we drink and everything domestic use comes from the Rio Grande. And unfortunately, over the last, like I said, 25 years, it's been full of ups and downs. When water was plentiful, we planted huge crops, and we did very well, and we're very successful. Even throughout you know, dips in sugar prices when they would drop, you know, we had that economies of scale that would bring us through. Unfortunately, with the water situation and the levels in the Falcon and Amistad reservoirs, they've just been dropping and dropping and dropping, and we haven't been able to grow to our maximum potential, unfortunately. And so it's made it even more difficult trying to manage this place, because sugar, the conversion of sugarcane into sugar and molasses, is a very capital intensive process. It requires a lot of equipment, and it requires commitment from the growers. The growers need to they need to know what price they're getting. They need to know what they're, you know, how much they're going to get paid. They have their inputs, and it made it very difficult when you lose that economies of scale, and we're making less and less. So as obviously, you know, we're dealing with everything like everybody else in any other business. You have inflation and fuel prices and going up, and so it made it more difficult, and our break-even points, you know, started to rise. You had to have more tonnage, more throughput in order to be able to make sugar an attractive row crop for these growers. Now, sugarcane is not an annual crop like cotton or corn or sorghum. It is, we refer to it as a perennial. I mean, you plant it, the stalk into the row, you cover it up, and about 14, 15 months later, you'll be harvesting the first crop off of that, what we call the plant crop. After that, the cane starts to ratoon or stubble back. The cane will tiller out of the ground and regrow just like your grass and your lawn. Once you cut your lawn, it starts to come back. So as long as the growers were happy with the yields that it was producing, they would keep the cane for, you know, up to 10, 15 years, believe it or not, along the Rio Grande River. Some of the most fertile soils down here, they could grow sugar cane for 10 plus years, 15. But generally, sugar cane is kept for about 4 to 5 years before the yields drop to a point where they cycle it out, they plow out the sugar cane, and then they replant another row crop and usually get right back into cane again. But over the last few years, like I said, our tonnage has been dropping and dropping, and our acreage has been dropping. Prices more recently have been favorable, but even then...
Selling retail sugar.
Well, we're not selling retail sugar.
Whoever you sell the sugar to...
Correct.
Those prices have been escalating, going up a little bit.
Correct. It's been coming up, you know, I mean... commodity prices are all over the place, but sugar has always been competitive, and it provided, you know, stability for a lot of these growers. You know, you had, whenever you're growing a cotton or a corn crop and you get flooded, you know, it was devastating. They lose their whole cotton crop. It was a beautiful cotton crop out there, or corn, and the fields are flooded, but you look across the street at your sugar cane and it's thriving. So it was a good tool, diversification tool to diversify the revenue streams for a lot of these growers down here. You know, like I said, getting down to this last year, we 2 years ago, in fact, we had about 31,000 acres of sugar cane, had over 1 million tons of cane. Prices were good. They could be better, but they were good. You know, we were still struggling with the water. Didn't have quite enough water to be able to grow more sugar cane, but we kept holding out, thinking that we were going to get more water, and then as a result, we dropped down to about, after that, we went down to about 16,500 acres. So with 16,500 acres, this last crop that we finished on February 10th, we only made about 38,000 tons of sugar off of that, about 400,000 tons of cane to produce about 38,000 tons of sugar. Typically, we get a 10% yield sugar on cane. Unfortunately, with the drought, we really couldn't anticipate how the plant was going to respond to that drought. And as a result, the sugar wasn't quite what we expected. We expected a higher yield. We didn't get it. And hence, that's why we came up with only about 38,000 tons of sugar. Once we completed the crop, we took an inventory of the fields that were still standing. Cane fields had just been harvested, and unfortunately, there was a considerable amount of plowouts because of our water situation and Mexico's reluctance to release any water that was owed to us. And so it got to a point where we were looking at probably only about 10,000 acres of sugarcane for the 24-25 crop year. Unfortunately, looking at that, you know, with the current prices, though they might be favorable, there's been a small drop, about maybe 2 cents a pound since this last season. But at the prices, we were not going to be able to cover all of our fixed costs. So we had the difficult decision as to, do we try to mothball the factory and see if we can live to fight another day and skip a year and continue harvesting? You know, unfortunately, you still have costs associated. You have personnel, you have electricity, you have overhead. And we didn't feel that we would have the resources to be able to continue at bare minimum for what we determined to be 80 weeks before we would start up for the 2025-2026 season. So we presented our findings to the board with a reduction in acres, a reduction in water, and the pricing, and ultimately they made the decision to go ahead and liquidate the factory and the cooperative and make the announcement that this would be the last season that we are in operation. It was our 51st year in operation.
Anything else, Sean, that you'd like to say?
Well, you know, it pretty much sums it up in the press release, but, you know, it's been this place for the last 20 years has been my education. I've met a lot of good people over the years, you know, they continue to be there for me and for our employees, but our biggest concern is going to be for our employees and their families, and like we said in the press release, our surrounding communities. We want to do everything that we can, and until I'm no longer in this capacity, that's what we're going to continue to do and do the best thing for them. So,
as an Aggie, do you anticipate your Aggie brethren will, and brother and other alum from College Station, are going to want to come to your rescue and find something for you to do?
Well, you know, the Aggie Network is a wonderful thing. It really is. It's family. It's you know, the camaraderie is second to none. So I've already had some contact from individuals I went to school with and graduated with and those that I met along the way, and they've already offered any assistance that I might need. So I'm very grateful for my time with Texas A&M and the family that I made while I was there. So we'll see in the upcoming weeks and months what the future holds.
Thank you. We have been talking to Sean Brashear, President and CEO of the Rio Grande Valley Sugar Mill in Santa Rosa, Texas. Aggie all the way. This report for Ron Whitlock Reports and the Rio Grande Guardian International News Service.